In that moment, Roy wished Mary could transmit thoughts as well as read them, so they could communicate without Professor Cole overhearing them.
First, we need to blow Professor Cole's concentration so she can't make calculated strikes.
Vince, kill the lights and just roll with whatever comes next.
The room went pitch black as Vince absorbed all the light. Roy moved toward the last place he'd seen Professor Cole.
You think taking my sight will give you an advantage, but none of you can see either. And by the way, you're making more than enough noise for me to find you.
Roy kept right on going, even as he heard the cloth strips whipping closer. Then, Roy felt a familiar pressure grip his chest and jerk him upward. He soared around the room just below the ceiling.
When did you learn to fly? Oh, I get it. Mary is lifting you up.
She's doing a lot more than that.
Mary jerked Roy to the side to obscure his position.
Good job, Mary. Now press the attack.
Roy soared past the tendrils, more projectile than man. His foot collided with something that felt like a shoulder, and he was hoisted aloft once more.
A crude technique, but effective and impressive, since it seems Mary is still maintaining a shield around herself.
Roy assumed that Professor Cole had attempted to penetrate Mary's telekinetic barrier.
Not bad. But let's see how you fare when you lack a clear target as well.
All around the room, different objects struck concrete in every conceivable direction.
She's making too much noise to track her location audibly, and I bet she's skilled enough to keep her mind blank so Mary can't read it. Think Vince has figured things out yet?
Pretty sure we'll find out soon.
Roy braced himself as the grip on his chest swung him around. Occasionally, he'd hit a tendril, but there was no time for any of Professor Cole's cloth limbs to ensnare him. At first, he seemed to be moving nowhere, just idly circling. Then Roy realized he was picking up speed.
We should call this tactic the Roy-king ball. Get it? Like a wrecking ball?
Not a good time for bad jokes, Herschel.
After one more rotation around the room, Roy's direction changed. Professor Cole stumbled from the hit, and Mary sent Roy up toward the ceiling again.
What the hell? I've kept my mind empty. There's no way you should have been able to pin down my location.
But Vince is detecting the energy coming from our bodies. Mary can read his thoughts and get our locations. Mary, bring us in again as soon as you can.
Roy plummeted downward once more. Unfortunately, when Mary swung him around for the next attack, Professor Cole was waiting. It felt like Roy had been tossed into a spider web made of cloth. Dozens of tendrils closed around him.
Your tactic was good, but using the same trick over and over will give your enemy the chance to adapt to it.
Yeah, we know. That's why it wasn't my job to beat you. I just had to keep you occupied.
In a blinding flash, light returned to the room. As Roy's eyes adjusted, he could just make out the silver-haired form of Vince Reynolds, his fist pressed firmly against Professor Cole's ribs.
I believe the term you used was hypothetical death blow, which means we win.
Death blow? Mr. Reynolds, I've seen your matches in the past. I'm somewhat skeptical that you could impart enough power in a single punch to put me permanently down for the count, especially with such a rapid transition from absorbing to unleashing different energies.
Are you asking me to try and kill you, ma'am?
Nothing so extreme as that, Mr. Reynolds. I'd like you to attack the wall with the power you would have used to kill me. Exact same parameters as before. Go from absorbing light to throwing a punch. If you can do sufficient damage to the wall, I'll admit that I would have been knocked out, if not killed. Do too little, and we resume the match from this moment with Roy captured and you open for a counter. Fair?
Hang on. If Vince burns up power just to prove a point, then he's not gonna have it for the rest of the trial.
Power he wouldn't have if he'd used it to stop me in the first place.
It's okay. She's right. I'd be down however much power I'd use to defeat her. Managing my resources is part of what I have to keep up with in my combat. So this is part of my training.
Vince made his way over to the opposite end of the room, as far from the others as physically possible.
Mary, could you put a shield between me and the rest of you? I'm going to use kinetic energy, and I don't want anyone to get clipped by debris. Is it clear on the other side of the wall?
Trust me. The labyrinth's entire structure is amply reinforced, Mr. Reynolds. Not even Mr. Daniels could put so much as a crack on the other side.
It's clear, Vince. Nobody around.
Mary put a barrier of mental force around Vince and his section of the room.
Thanks, Mary.
He looked down at his right hand, still balled into a fist.
I'll darken the room for 10 seconds, then stop absorbing and throw my punch. Is that long enough, Professor Cole?
Professor Cole watched Vince's every movement carefully.
I think that will be sufficient to recreate our scenario.
With a nod, Vince made a small cupping motion with his left hand. They stood there in total darkness for 10 seconds before the light came back in a sudden surge. Dean Blaine was out of his seat, knuckles white as he stared at the television screen. They'd missed much of the battle between Professor Cole and the students. Vince had been absorbing even the light that night vision cameras registered. But what was displayed on the screens now more than made up for it.
If there was ever any hope for these students to escape the nickname Class of Nightmares, Vince just destroyed that too.
Vince pulled his hand back and uncurled his fist, staring at the massive hole he'd just punched in the wall. Light streamed out of the room into the previously dark hallway beyond. Pieces of concrete were smashed and embedded in the far wall of the hallway, a few causing cracks in the previously smooth surface. Turning around, Vince put on his best unassuming face and looked Professor Cole in her unusually wide eyes.
That took pretty much every bit of kinetic energy I had. Was it enough?
Slowly, Professor Cole nodded as she lowered Roy back to the ground.
Yes, Mr. Reynolds. I can say without any hesitation that a punch like that would have certainly overcome my defenses. Your death blow stands, and you are officially the winners of the match. But where on earth did you get so much kinetic energy?
Smiling with relief, Vince pointed over to Roy, now released from his bindings.
I've got a really strong sparring partner. That was really just a bunch of Roy's punches being thrown all at once.
Professor Cole looked from Vince to Roy to Mary and back to Vince again before shaking her head.
Well, I did ask you to show me how much you'd all grown. As one of your educators, I am proud that you three managed to score a win over me, no matter how strange your tactics were. Congratulations to all of you. Now, get back out there while I go help myself to some catered food and a well-earned drink.
It was a split second of distraction. Still, that was long enough. A now solid Professor Pendleton ducked and rolled away from one of Shane's weapons, the two halves of his shirt fluttering to the floor. He came up, smiling.
Careful, Shane. That's a lot of sharp shades to be swinging about. Some might even consider them to be a deadly amount of force against a flesh and blood opponent.
Alex, same plan, smaller target. Keep him solid and elevated. Shane and I will stay close by in case he tries anything.
Not the worst idea I've come up against. Unfortunately, Chad, your usual habit of failing has struck yet again.
He reached into his pocket and produced a small silver device, pressing his thumb onto a blue button near the top. Shane and Alex struggled to stay upright.
I snuck a few remote stunning devices onto your friends when I first spread out. The harder I press this button, the stronger the current. Don't worry, though. Can't do any serious damage to them. At most, it will knock them out.
The realization hit Chad immediately.
You didn't put one on me. You wanted to face me alone?
Well, yes and no. I didn't put any on you because, one, it probably wouldn't be enough to stop you, and two, with your hyper-awareness, you probably would have noticed, which would have tipped my hand. You see, once I realized the team I'd be facing, I got an idea.
From the corner of his eye, Chad could see Shane lifting his hand, slowly trying to reach around to his back. Unfortunately, Professor Pendleton noticed, too.
Stop it! Torturing them is not acceptable for a simple test.
It's important for a hero to learn how to endure pain.
Professor Pendleton's face darkened for a moment, but it passed quickly.
But don't worry. The shocks from the devices don't hurt any more than our usual sparring sessions. I should know. I used them on myself before I ever brought them into combat.
While Pendleton spoke, Alex tried to move.
Listen up, you two. If you try to pull off the electrodes again, I'll drop you. Chad. If you try to take the devices off, I'll knock your friends out before you even can get close enough. If you try to attack, I'll turn into fog only a split second after taking them both down.
So what do you want me to do then?
Easy. Knock yourself out. Send your brain into sleep mode, and I promise I'll drop the controller and not pick it up again. Your friends will be free to continue the fight, but you'll be eliminated.
I don't understand. Two against one is a greater threat. Why not take them both down and fight me? None of this makes sense.
Exactly. And that is the lesson for today. Not every enemy takes actions that make sense. You're a strong and capable Super Chad, but you just can't think outside the box. So, what's it going to be? Sacrifice yourself and your score for people you'd have to fight anyway? Try and take me on alone in a fight we both know is pretty much unwinnable, or find another way out of the situation?
Slowly, Professor Pendleton extended his arm, holding the remote a few inches closer.
You've got until the count of 10 to make your choice, or your friends finish their exam here and now. 1, 2.
While a 10-second count was no doubt meant to fluster him, for Chad, it was ample time to think.
Pendleton is right. I can't move fast enough to reach Shane and Alex before he can eliminate them. If I sacrifice them now, at least I'll have a chance to fight to a draw. Then I can get back out into the labyrinth to take on someone else. But Shane and Alex are my teammates. How can I abandon them for personal gain? Besides, they have a much better shot at defeating Pendleton and getting those points, even without me. So the right choice is to eliminate myself. Or...
5, 6...
I'll knock myself out.
Oh, the self-sacrifice move, huh? Well, at least you're not a heartless bastard. Fair warning, though, we're monitoring everyone's vitals, brainwaves included, so don't think you can just fall down and I'll take you at your word. I'm waiting until I receive confirmation that you're out before I let these two go. And if you become conscious, that remote is fair game again.
Chad nodded. Reaching deep within his brainstem, Chad activated the production of the chemicals that would produce a peaceful slumber.
According to his EEG readout, Chad Taylor is unconscious.
Very well. Chad Taylor has been eliminated from the trial.
Shaking his head, Professor Pendleton took his hand off the remote and slipped it back into his pocket. Slowly, Alex and Shane rose to their feet. As they moved, they reached around to their necks and backs, ripping off the electrodes that had been used to keep them down.
Well, boys, it looks like Chad bought you both a second bite at the apple. Try to make the most of it, will you? I'd hate to see such a noble...
Between Shane and Alex, Chad leapt back to his feet in a single fluid motion.
The old double cross, huh? Your friends still have electrodes on them, dummy.
Professor Pendleton reached into his pocket.
No, you don't, Sean. According to his brainwave activity, Chad's still passed out. You touched that remote, and you're the one who went back on his word.
Now, Professor Pendleton noticed that Chad swayed uncertainly on his feet, and his eyes were unfocused.
Oh, you sneaky little bastard. You put yourself in a dream state and kept your body active. Even if you can't get any credit for it, you still want to help your buddies take me down.
It was with a smile that Professor Pendleton removed his hand from his pocket. He'd wanted to see if Chad could think in a direction other than straight ahead. And that was exactly what the kid had managed.
Well then, looks like it's still 3-on-1. That should keep things interesting.
Professor Pendleton was still sobbing, blood dripping from the bloody end of his missing fingertip. Alex was aware that his energy was diminished by his earlier efforts to contain Pendleton and the electrical shocks he had endured. But those shocks and that missing fingertip gave him an idea. Alex narrowed his focus on a much smaller area of the professor's body. Like a tiny, powerful fist, it squeezed on the cluster of nerves near the base of his spine. Professor Pendleton's cocky grin suddenly transformed into wide-eyed shock. His legs folded, and he collapsed to the floor.
Shane, surround him with shadows!
Gladly!
What in the hell? I can't feel my fucking legs!
That's because I'm pressing down between the vertebrae of your spinal column. I could sever the nerves if I had to, but this works just as well. I noticed that your hand didn't regrow that finger Chad lopped off. So I don't think you can reshape your body however you see fit when you reform. If I hold on to a specific body part's worth of smoke when you shift, then if you turn back without it, you'll be missing that piece. Something tells me you don't want to be separated from a section of your spine.
I'm impressed and a little surprised. This is a far more ruthless tactic than I expected out of you, Alex.
Last May, I learned the importance of stopping my enemies. Even if they're stronger than I am.
Clearly. So, what now?
Are you going to just paralyze me?
No. If I snap it and lose my grip, you can turn into smoke without the fear of me ripping the part out. Besides, this takes a lot of concentration. I don't think I could do anything else even if I wanted to. They, on the other hand, are a different story.
Alex nodded to Shane and the still unsteady Chad.
While I make sure you don't turn to smoke, they're going to take you down.
Fascinating.
In one swift motion, Professor Pendleton hopped to his feet.
I must admit, Alex, you've impressed me. I never thought I'd have to reveal this aspect of my abilities.
What the hell? Your spine should still be pinched.
And pinched it is. But just as I can turn the fog back into flesh selectively, I can also shift parts of my body to mist. They still function in that form, albeit not as well as normal, and it's not something I can keep up indefinitely. So congratulations, you've functionally neutralized my ability to shift completely. But if you want victory, these two are still going to have to best me to take it.
No argument here.
Shane made a quick motion with his hand. The dark blades sliced through Pendleton's legs, targeting tendons that would leave him crippled.
What the fuck?
None of the strikes had drawn so much as a drop of blood. Alex could just make out a few wisps of fog trailing the final shadow as it pulled away from Professor Pendleton's unmarked flesh.
Come on. Did you really think it was that easy? I just told you I can turn my body to fog as needed.
Alex looked at Shane, who was staring back at him. There was only one viable option. Overwhelm him with attacks so they could hit him before he could react. Alex could still feel Chad deep within his dream.
Chad, I know you're in there, and I hope you can hear me. We need you to fight Professor Pendleton as best as—
Chad's charge across the room was instantaneous, his unfocused eyes locked in Professor Pendleton's direction. Alice heard the scuff of a foot in the darkness. She readied her gravity field, drifting back carefully. She'd already managed to bring down Will thanks to a poorly timed misstep coming around a corner, but Alice wasn't counting on luck to see her through the rest of this competition.
Alice, is that you?
Yes. Damn it, why did I do that?
Oh, so having much luck?
Got Rich and Will.
Adam and Selena.
Selena? How do you manage that?
As soon as I caught the first notes of her song, I broke one of my fingers so I'd have something else to focus on. After that, it was just a matter of getting close enough to touch her before she noticed that her singing wasn't compelling me. Not the most fun strategy, but it worked.
Camille paused, and it wasn't hard to figure out why. There was an elephant in the room that neither was sure how to deal with.
Only four down then that we know of. Still plenty of points to be had.
Yeah, lots of other students to defeat.
I'm going to keep on moving then. See if I can track some more down.
Ditto. I could probably beat Camille in a fight. I mean, what sort of tactic could a damage absorber use against a field of gravity? Still, those who underestimate Camille Belden usually end up unconscious or with multiple fractures. Or both.
Sonya Cole pushed a button on a control panel in a sheltered corner of the combat room.
Hey, Professor Cole. Since you're eliminated and we sort of wrecked the place, is it okay if we use this room?
If you mean as a spot to hunker down and rest, feel free. But between the window Vince opened and the unlocked doors, I can't promise you anything in the way of privacy.
Nah, I don't want to take a break. I want to fight Vince, right here and now. And I prefer a place with nice lighting and room to move. Just wanted to make sure it wasn't breaking the rules to do this here instead of in the dark halls.
With me eliminated, this is nothing but an empty room. Do with it as you will. But what about your injuries?
Oh, yeah. Sorry, guys, I forgot about that.
It hurts, but it isn't bleeding that much.
I think I can handle it.
Well, it doesn't look like you're going to bleed out, and Dean Blaine might not be pleased if I interfered with the test by wrapping you up in field dressings. Besides, heroes fight injured all the time. You might as well get used to it.
Professor Cole vanished into the shadows of the labyrinth. Vince looked at Roy and Mary, turning his body slightly so as not to be left unguarded.
What was that about, wanting to fight me?
Exactly what it sounded like. You think after a display like that, I'm gonna risk anyone else getting a chance to take you on? Hell no. I wanna see what you got in a real fight, Vince. No sparring, no holding back. Really testing which of us is stronger.
Roy glanced over to Mary, who was standing by patiently.
You can jump in too if you like. I'd be lying if I said I didn't want to do this one-on-one, but it's well within your right to strike if one of us is weak.
Thanks, but I don't think I'd get as much out of this as either of you. How about I make certain no one interrupts?
Are you sure? We're all enemies at the end of the day. I mean, we all need the points.
While that's technically true, neither of you are really thinking about your scores. This is about testing yourselves under high-stakes conditions, and that's something you'll both get more out of if it's just the two of you.
Mary allowed herself a brief smirk.
Besides, I can always take on the winner. And after this battle, that should make for a much easier fight.
She's got us there. Vince, you need a second after that punch, or are you good to go?
I'm ready whenever you are. Truthfully, I've wanted to see how much stronger you've gotten, too.
Then get ready to recharge your kinetic stash, because while it won't kill you, I'm coming in strong enough to at least crack a few bones.
Sean Pendleton was running a bluff. Between dealing with Chad and Shane's assault and keeping his spine misty against Alex's telekinesis, his concentration was slipping. Chad tried to grab Professor Pendleton's arms. They passed through harmlessly, but Sean caught sight of a dark shape flickering toward him. The shadow struck his leg, but met fog rather than flesh.
I could still shock the shit out of two of them, but this is a student test, not a battle, and I'm not a total asshole. Time to do something unexpected.
Sean barreled through Chad and toward Alex, but heard the sound of boots on concrete quickly catching up to him.
No!
Sean twisted around and met Shane's eyes for a split second. Of course, what Shane tackled was only fog, yet he seemed undeterred.
Distraction.
Chad's kick splintered Sean's knee. As Sean hit the floor, he saw a brief flash of darkness whip by his face.
Death blow. I just scratched you on the side of the neck. But if I'd gone deeper, you'd be bleeding out right now.
You'll get no argument from me. That was a clean kill, no question about it. I officially admit defeat to the team of Shane DeSoto and Alex Griffin.
Sean watched as Chad, with a peaceful expression on his face, lowered himself slowly to the floor and closed his eyes.
I feel like Chad should get some credit, too.
No, he made his choice. Anyway, Chad already had more than enough on his record to prove he can fight. Today he proved he could also use his head a little, and that he was willing to take one for the team when the occasion called for it. Alex, are you still holding onto my spine? If so, please let it go.
Whoops, sorry about that, sir. You're free.
Thank you. I need to get to a healer, and I'd much prefer to do that without walking on a broken knee. As for you two, get back into the labyrinth. You each got 3 points off me, but you'll need more than that to secure victory.
Sean shifted his body fully over to mist form and headed for the nearest exit.
Losing sucks. But I have to admit, those kids have grown a lot since sophomore year. Maybe I can see why Blaine is so into this teaching thing.
Vince and Roy circled one another. There was more at stake than a single point in the test, or impressing a room full of heroes. This was a chance to push themselves, to see who was stronger. Roy dodged Vince's first blast of flame. He crouched low under the next fireball, then blasted forward like he'd been shot from a cannon. He landed within inches of Vince and swung his bat. Vince had absorbed all the energy of the massive blow. Roy stepped back.
Surprised you didn't follow through.
And juice you up? Fat chance. I know better than to attack when you're ready for it.
Between all the training and the fact that you've only really got kinetic on your side, I'm not sure how you're going to beat me, Roy.
It won't be easy, that's true. You ain't the only one who's been getting stronger, though. That punch you used on the wall would have hurt like hell, but with all your kinetic used up, I'm not sure you got enough of the other stuff to take me down. I'm pretty used to fire after all this time, and I can take a lot of electricity. More than you tend to keep on you.
That's so?
Vince's hand began to crackle, then glow as sparks of electricity rippled off his fingers. Roy made a quick motion with his free hand.
Ow! What the hell?
Risking a glance down, Vince saw a gash above his knee, the skin around it already turning purple. He looked back at Roy, who was now tossing and catching a large jagged rock.
I may not come with a natural ranged attack, but if you're strong enough, everything could be a weapon. Including broken concrete.
It was then Vince remembered how Roy had reacted during his first assault, breaking the concrete with his foot and then getting into a position that allowed him to scoop some up, all without ever drawing suspicion.
I bet he got that idea from Herschel.
Not a bad plan. One problem, though. You can't hit what you can't see.
The room plunged into darkness as Vince absorbed all the light.
Temporary measure. We both know that if you're absorbing light, you can't take kinetic. And I got a lot of concrete here.
Roy lifted his bat.
Watch yourself, Mary.
Vince got down just in time as Roy began to blindly hurl chunks of concrete. Vince dove and dodged, keeping as quiet as he could, counting the seconds as he moved. It wouldn't be long before Roy located. A chunk clipped him on the shoulder, nearly causing him to lose focus.
Time to switch tactics.
Light filled the room once more. Roy was standing with his bat poised to strike, Vince only a few feet away. Rather than have his fingers curled into a fist, Vince's hand was open, the palm directly facing Roy. For a brief second, their eyes met. And in that moment, it was clear Roy realized what was about to happen. But there wasn't even time to blink. The blast of light caught Roy right in his dilated pupils.
Son of a fucking bitch!
His free hand went to cover his face.
Sorry, Roy. I know how tough you are. So I'm going to have to put some real juice into this.
Roy was on his knees, eyes closed and a small tendril of smoke rising from the spot where the blow had landed. Vince turned to Mary.
Well, you going to take a turn?
She only shook her head and pointed behind him. Vince turned, just in time to see Roy blinking away spots from his eyes and getting back to his feet.
Good trick. If you think I'm going down for good off a hit like that, then you have made a severe miscalculation.
Roy yanked his bat up from the floor and pointed the end of it toward Vince.
I hope you got a lot more up your sleeve, because I'm nowhere near done yet.
You've gotten tougher.
Like you wouldn't believe. After getting my ass handed to me by that souped-up strongman last May, Herschel and I have been working overtime to increase endurance as much as strength. It's been slow going, but we're making steady progress.
Vince took a couple of steps back.
I thought for sure that last attack would have taken you out.
Yeah, this time last year probably would have. But haven't you noticed? We're halfway through the year, and nothing has managed to knock me down for the count yet. Not a sim, not a student. I might not be as versatile as the rest of you, but I'll be damned if I don't have staying power.
Titan sat by himself in the back row of seats. Although he'd wanted to move closer to the screens as soon as Roy went into a cell with Professor Cole to cheer for his sons as they managed to yank a victory out of sure defeat, Titan had done none of that. Herschel and Roy deserved to make their own way in the world. Being known as Titan's offspring would link them to him forever, and they'd made it clear that that wasn't something either of them wanted. Gale slid into the seat next to him.
How many people know what they're really seeing?
You mean a good fight? I'm pretty sure they all know that. How often do students manage to beat a professor and then go right into a one-on-one match against each other? This is high entertainment.
Oh, there's no doubt about it. But that's not what I mean. What I'm saying is, how many people in here realize that they're seeing a live match between the son of Globe and the son of Titan?
Titan glanced around to see if anyone nearby had reacted to Gale's words.
Oh, don't worry. I shifted the air around us while I was speaking. No one is paying attention to us anyway.
Much as I appreciate that, I'd rather you never said anything at all. So, who spilled the secret?
Did you forget that I've got a subtlety hero on my team and favors I can call in? After that weird display at the last mixer, I decided to dig a little deeper. I have to say, the connection explains a lot. Guess the relationship is a rocky one?
It's gotten much better in the past few years, but we're still far from being on good terms.
Yeah, I figured that out for myself. I have to say, it sort of makes me respect the kid a little more now that I know his relationship to you.
Because you think that highly of me?
Because I like the fact that he isn't trading on your name. You might not be universally loved, but no one can talk shit about your abilities. Seeing him try to make his own way? I don't know. I like that. Weird relationship stuff notwithstanding.
I get what you mean.
Titan looked back at the screen, where Vince and Roy were back in the middle of the room.
Roy doesn't need to trade on my name anyway.
That's so. Is that your way of saying he stacks up to the legendary Titan?
Compared to me now? No, it's not a contest. But if Roy were to go up against the HCP version of me, he'd almost definitely come out on top.
He's that strong?
He's probably almost at the same level I was at his age, though I doubt that'll be true for much longer. But no, what makes Roy really dangerous is that, unless I miss my guess, he's going to be able to fight much more intelligently than anything I was ever able to manage.
Titan looked back at the screen again, where Vince's retreat and Roy's advance had both halted.
And again, that's not the same thing as saying he can beat Vince.
The Absorber has been putting on a hell of a show so far.
Take it from someone who has watched him train. We haven't really seen anything yet.
Roy, I'll admit this is unorthodox, but I've been thinking as hard as I can. And I just can't come up with any other way to do this. Well, I don't want to risk seriously hurting you. I think we both plan to give everything we have in this fight. Neither wants a hollow victory from the other holding back.
Bit of a weird lead-in, but you ain't off base, so I'm listening.
Then if you wouldn't mind, can you tell me how close that last blast was to knocking you out? I know it's an odd question, but I don't want to use so much power that I cross the line. If you can give me an idea of how close that last shot was, I can use the right amount of power without frying your brain.
You know if this was a real hero fight, you wouldn't have access to that information. You just have to keep coming until you got the job done. And if you overshot the mark, then your enemy would be dead.
True. But if this were a real hero fight, you'd be a criminal, not a friend.
Huh. Yeah. All right, Vince. This is just a guess. Based on how that last one felt, I say it needs to be, four, five times stronger if you want a shot at taking me out of the fight. That's the other reason I don't mind telling you. We both know you don't keep enough juice to manage that sort of attack. Maybe you can find a way to use a similar amount of fire, though.
Vince was struggling to keep a straight face.
4 to 5 times stronger? Does Roy have any idea how much power was in that first strike? I might accidentally cook one of my best friends. Then again, I already underestimated him once.
Mind if I adjust my armor?
Roy nodded. Vince had a hunch that Roy was going along with the request because it gave him more time to recover.
This stuff won't protect me against Roy anyway. The only chance I have is to summon the energy and land the shot. If he gets the chance to attack, that'll be the end of this fight.
Vince stretched, feeling his body move freely once more.
Ready when you are.
Roy scooped up concrete chips with his free hand and advanced slowly. Vince's right hand began to crackle once more. Unlike the first time, he continued to let the power build while keeping an eye on Roy. A volley of concrete buckshot whipped through the air. Vince leapt to the side as Roy darted closer. Vince dodged the strike at his legs and the punch that followed it. But Roy read his movements a little too well. Vince had reflexively blocked Roy's follow-through punch, and now Vince's right forearm was shattered. The pain was incredible. But Vince fought through it as he continued concentrating on his right hand, which was glowing white hot.
Damn it, Vince. You ain't making this easy, are you? Where did all that juice come from?
Mr. Transport took me to a lightning storm. I came ready to fight.
That you did.
The glow from Vince's hand was so bright it was difficult to look at.
I'm guessing that one is about 4 or 5 times stronger than the last.
Close as I could get.
But that forearm looks like hell, and you are obviously in a lot of pain. One more blow and I doubt even you could keep focus.
Roy was grinning now, even as he clearly readied himself for another charge.
Next one to land a clean hit, probably win then.
Looks that way.
Then let's make sure the winner really earns it.
Roy launched himself off the concrete. Vince had stopped consciously thinking about the moves he was making as he kept the power building. A lifetime of training was condensed down into a few steps and quick dodges. He was hanging in there, albeit always by a span of inches. Roy pretended to expose his left side, trying to bait Vince so he could counter. Even if it was a trap, it was the only chance Vince had. The room seemed to dim as Roy glowed with lightning. Vince stared at Roy. He was upright, but his uniform was a charred, tattered mess, and his hair smoked. His eyes were unfocused.
Yeah. About 5 times as much.
Mary stood from the corner where she had taken shelter under one of her telekinetic shields.
He's okay, Vince. As fast as Roy heals, I bet he'll be up and around before we get a healer down here. But he's definitely out. You win, Vince.
Under other circumstances, Vince would have pumped his fist in triumph. Instead, he cradled his broken arm and slowly doubled over. Dean Blaine was out of his chair, his eyes wide with alarm.
Talk to me, Dr. Moran.
The monitoring devices in Roy's suit are toast, as are the microphones in the test room. But visuals indicate that he is still breathing.
As Vince and Mary left the room on screen, a new figure appeared, stepping through the hole in the wall and effortlessly scooping up Roy's heavy body. Professor Wordsworth gave a quick wave to the one functioning camera and mouthed a sentence no one could hear, then carried Roy out of sight.
All right, Blaine. I have confirmation that Roy is breathing and stable and seems to be reacting to stimuli. He'll be with the healer shortly.
Thank you, Doctor.
Dean Blaine turned to Titan, who was standing at the back of the room with his fists clenched at his sides. He gave the big man a subtle nod, and he relaxed and sat back down. Dean Blaine, however, did not relax completely. He hadn't expected to see Vince utilize so much power against an opponent. Roy had proven he could stand up to such a devastating attack, but the amount of force Vince could now use represented a new danger that might require specialized training.
That can be dealt with later. There are still 10 left standing.
After being reassured by Professor Wordsworth that Roy would recover, Mary and Vince stood in the dark hallway.
Why aren't you fighting me?
Did you want me to?
Not especially.
Between the pain in his arm, dropping all his kinetic energy to earn the win over Professor Cole, and the ridiculous payload it had taken to drop Roy, Vince was feeling rather drained. Of course, he still had fire and some electricity, but with injuries nagging at him, using those energies effectively would be much harder than normal.
This just seems like a good time to strike, if you wanted the point.
Come on, we both know that how you get those points is almost as important as the points themselves. If we were the last two and I had to do it to end the trial, that's one thing. But kicking you while you're down is hardly heroic. I'd much rather keep working together until we have to deal with one another. But I may take the lead on the next fight, since you're not at the top of your game.
Actually, Mary, I think it's time we went our separate ways. Maybe it's better we handle the rest of this on our own.
Come on, Vince. I know you're feeling weakened, but together we can still...
I'm not sure what's going on with you, Mary, and I trust you enough to not pry. But considering the battle against Professor Cole, refusing to take part in Roy and Mai's fight, and now sticking with dragging me around, did you really think I wouldn't notice? You're holding back, working as support instead of going for the win. I'm not going to let you drag yourself down anymore by trying to help me. That's not the kind of victory I want.
Vince, you're down an arm and you used up a tremendous amount of energy. Is this really the time to try and strike off on your own?
This is the perfect time.
Vince headed down a nearby hallway that split off from their current location, but stopped and turned back.
Feel free to come at me, since we've dissolved the team. I can't do much to stop you now. If not, then next time we see each other, it will be as opponents.
A part of Vince was braced for a telekinetic attack, but it never came. Despite the effort that earning 2 points had taken, Alice was remarkably unhurt. She was feeling unexpectedly cheery about that as she floated along, glad not to be nursing wounds mid-battle for a change. There was something to be said for the subtlety method of skulking around unseen and then striking from the shadows. Too bad she wasn't the only one using it. The hallway behind her sealed shut with orange energy, and the same energy ran along the walls and sealed the corridor shut at the opposite end. It was like she was inside an orange neon tube with a lone glowing man a few feet away.
This is new, Thomas. Usually you just wrap yourself in energy.
I've been trying to increase my effectiveness in close quarters combat. Although finding a suitable location and lying in wait did diminish the number of opponents I could engage.
And then you had the misfortune of getting me. I'll have to buy you a beer when this is all over to make up for it.
Alice shifted the nearby gravity. To Alice's surprise, he remained rooted in place.
Funny thing about gravity, if you have a firm enough grip on a surface, you aren't going to be thrown around by it. And the bond between the energy on my feet and the floor is unshakable. So, Alice, I think it's going to be me who owes you a beer when we're done here.
Alice wasn't sure how she was going to bluff her way out of this situation. Thomas had developed a technique no one else could pull off. Total territorial domination. Dipping low, Alice barely dodged a fist that swung out from the ceiling toward her. Two more hands reached out from the wall, causing Alice to veer more toward the center of the hallway. She'd only just realized that she was being herded when a half dozen orange tendrils shot out from Thomas's hand and tried to wrap around her. Darting through the air, Alice backpedaled and avoided them momentarily. But the effort had driven her closer to the walls and therefore left her vulnerable. Sliding away from the wall, Alice glanced over at Thomas's glowing orange form. While she could turn up the gravity around him until it was too strong for his energy to keep him rooted to the floor, he might die the moment his suit of protection failed.
Fortunately for me, I have other options. Unfortunately for him, it's going to hurt like hell. Hey, Thomas, just a quick heads up.
An orange fist pounded into her shoulder.
When you feel something start to give, please surrender. I don't want to hurt you any more than I have to.
Your concern is noted, and your warning is heard. But don't presume that you're the only one with tricks up your sleeve.
Alice narrowed her focus, trying to assess where Thomas's body parts were in all the orange light.
Ah!
Dozens of hands surged from the walls, floors, and ceiling, surrounding her instantly. They grabbed her arms and legs, yet Alice didn't try to avoid them. This was no longer a match of dexterity. It was one of focus. Keeping her attention at the spot where Alice imagined Thomas's ankles to be, she let loose another fluctuation of gravity. Twin forces suddenly manifested, pulling with extreme power in opposite directions, one slightly higher up than the other. Alice couldn't hear the ligaments tear or the joints dislocate, but she did notice the hands around her slow down. Thomas said nothing about surrender, so Alice kept up the pressure. Moments later, the orange arms redoubled their efforts. Inhumanly strong hands tightened their grips until it felt like they were holding her by the bones. Some began to pull her limbs back, trying to put her into a submission hold. Her right arm snapped just as she dislocated Thomas's knee. The orange walls rippled. It was taking everything Alice had to keep warping the gravity around Thomas's body. Then, her left leg broke. Blocking out the pain as best she could, Alice glared down at that damn orange body and created one last burst of warped gravity. There was no scream as Thomas's legs dislocated from his pelvis. Alice felt the pressure holding her loosen. All around her, the orange energy was fading, leaving her once again cloaked in shadows as the darkness returned. Thomas was the last source of light, and as his body covering flickered, he tumbled over. On instinct, Alice slowed his descent so he landed lightly, rather than cracking his skull against the concrete.
You passed out from the pain, didn't you?
She lowered herself close to the floor, out of caution, but also because her snapped left leg wasn't going to hold her weight.
Credit where it's due. You never did give up.
With Thomas out, that gave her 3 points. She'd been hoping for more, but given her injuries, Alice had to face the possibility that she might lack the focus to win another bout. Still, the trial wasn't done yet, so it was worth trying.
If nothing else, I think I'm putting on a hell of a showing for a subtlety major.
After a powerful opening set of matches, slowly but surely, the students were beginning to fall. Amber, Brittany, and Violet got off a series of exceptional attacks on Professor Stone, but ultimately the woman once known as Emerald Hydra proved to be more than they could handle. Violet was the last to go down, stubbornly manipulating her density with shocking skill as she was pelted with attacks. Eventually, she too was knocked unconscious. It had been a good showing, though, and that was what these trials were about as much as the actual results. They needed to prove that they would continue getting stronger after graduation, becoming the sort of heroes who would carry on for decades. Many of Dean Blaine's students had done just that already, and the crowd clearly noticed. But the trial was nearly over, with only 6 students in the labyrinth and all except Mary and Camille injured in some way. Yet the crowd stayed focused, because in some ways, this was as vital to their evaluation as the first battles. Seeing who could push through, who could get the job done in spite of battered bodies and broken bones. Well, that was as much the measure of a hero as punching through walls or turning into fog. Here, at least, Dean Blaine was unconcerned. Whatever fears he might have had about his students and their abilities, whatever rumors or nicknames might be circulating about the senior class, there was one thing he was sure of. This was a class with grit. They would fight until they were unable to move. And even then, they might try to squeeze off a parting shot or two.